All right, we'll be in the book of Philippians this morning, book of Philippians. And speak a little bit personally, a little bit retrospectively, maybe a little bit this morning, but speak from the subject of I thank my God. I mean, Philippians, and we're going to read the first 11 verses of chapter 1 here, and I got a few things. We'll kind of pick up a couple things as we go through here. But Philippians chapter 1, and beginning in verse number 1, Paul and Timotheus, the servants of Jesus Christ, to all the saints in Christ Jesus, which are at Philippi, with the bishops and deacons, grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine for you, all making request with joy. For your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Even as it is meet for me to think this of you all. See, he's texting right there. See that? Catch that? You all right there. Because I have you in my heart, inasmuch as both in my bonds and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel, ye all are partakers of my grace. For God is my record, how greatly I long after you all in the bowels of Jesus Christ. And this I pray, that your love may abound yet more and more in knowledge and in all judgment, that ye may approve things that are excellent, that ye may be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ, being filled with the fruits of righteousness which are by Jesus Christ unto the glory and praise of God. If you don't mind, I'd start off here. I'd reminisce a bit. I kind of get a little bit reminiscent this time of year. And this Tuesday, the 15th of October, marks the 7th anniversary of my first Sunday as pastor here at Faith Baptist Church. Sometimes that seems like only yesterday, and honestly, though, it seems like I've been here forever in a good way. It just seems like the memories of churches and things in the past, they just kind of blur and fade away, and it's just I just seem to focus on this time. I came across a quote a while back, I don't remember who said it, is in a Warren Wiersbe book. He quoted somebody else, but basically said, if you can explain it, then God didn't do it. And that's always stuck with me. If you can explain it, God didn't do it. Sometimes I get asked the story about coming here, and I can't really explain it. It happened, and it still boggles my mind. Steve Holland, you can still blame him, bumps in my dad at a gas station, says the church was looking for a pastor, and asked if I might be interested. And there was a lot going on in my life at the time, and I was pretty certain that God was preparing me for a move. It's hard to describe, but if you've been there, you understand. I honestly didn't really get my hopes up that this would work out. I met Jack up at the museum, and I gave him my resume, and I honestly thought that would be the end of it. I then met the elders at the time, James and Jack and Olin, and I honestly thought that would be the end of it. They had me come preach one Sunday morning. I honestly thought that would be the end of it. It kind of drug out for a little while, it seems like over the course of a few weeks, and I honestly thought that would be the end of it. Then James called me on Sunday afternoon, and the church had voted unanimously to call me to pastor, and I honestly didn't know what to expect. I seemed like things were kind of pointing that direction, but I can't say that I really expected it. I sort of made a deal with, you ever make a deal with God? We're human, right? You ever make a deal with God? Well, I kind of made a deal with God. Kind of like Gideon did back in the book of Judges. He said, okay, God, you know, I'm going to put this fleece here, and I want it to be dry and the ground wet, and I want the fleece to be soaking wet and the ground dry and all that. Well, I kind of did that with God, and I told him, I said, if this is really it, I want the vote to be unanimous. That's the that to me was the litmus test, the fleece laid out, and it was unanimous. So I'm like, well, I'm stuck now. But as scared as I was, I knew what my answer would be. The very first service actually was not a Sunday. It was Wednesday evening, October 4th. And we were getting the Wednesday night services restarted. And if I remember correctly, I think there were 9 of us here. There was myself, my wife, our kids, our 4 kids, and then James, Olin, and Jack. Is that right? Olin's not here. Jack, do you remember that? Yeah. Do what? Yeah, it's been a while. But I think it was just those of us. And I remember I did a lesson just kind of quickly from Daniel chapter number 1. Like I say, we're just kind of getting things restarted. That first Sunday came up on the 15th. If I remember correctly, it was 27 people. Y'all know me. I like to exaggerate those numbers a tad. But I'm pretty sure it was 27. I've never felt so unworthy in my life to preach because when I walked in, the Hammonds were here. They were in here visiting. And, you know, I'll tell you, if it had been any Sunday but my first Sunday, I really should have let him preach. But with the setting and stuff. But when you have a missionary that's been that faithful that long, they deserve that honor. They really do. Anyway, by the way, my first mistake was calling. They're not here this morning. I'm not going to embarrass them, but they're not here. They still come. Was calling on someone to pray for the offering that didn't usually pray in public. You know how that is. Some people will pray, some people don't. And I just called some people up to take up the offering, and I called on someone, and it got really quiet. And I found out what you don't call on him to pray. And I guess he's forgiven me. My first sermon was from the book of Philippians, and I did a little series looking at that church for the first few weeks, and it's one of the greatest churches you'll ever find, I'm convinced. It has a remarkable history, a spectacular membership role, and a sparkling testimony. Today I'm returning to the book of Philippians, on this occasion marking the 7th anniversary of my becoming pastor here, and this book is practically a love letter to a wonderful church. Paul had invested so much in starting this church. You can turn over to Acts 16 and read that story. It was the result of him following that Macedonian call that led him over into Europe and led him to eventually end up there at Philippi. It was the home of the first convert on European soil, Lydia. She's a member of this church. And the church itself literally started with a bang when Paul and Silas' stay in jail ended with an earthquake. I tell you what, if you're going to start things with a bang, that's a good way to do it. The church itself had been good to Paul, supporting his work with finances, prayers, and laborers. Paul writes this letter to them at the same time that he wrote the books of Philemon, Colossians, and Ephesians. He's a prisoner in Rome at this probably there about the last half of the book of Acts 28, the last chapter there. That's about the time period it seems like he wrote this. Yet you think about his circumstances and you do not see a hint of bitterness here. In fact, I think when you read this book, there's just a joy that just drips from every word, every sentence of this book. And that's kind of my theme this morning, is joyfulness and thanksgiving. Joyfulness and thanksgiving, because in a lot of ways this is Paul writing a thank you letter to this church, and it's deeply personal and it's also full of joy. The first thing I want to note is there in verse number 3, the joy of remembrance. The joy of remembrance. It says, I thank my God upon every remembrance of you. If I may, I'll hijack his words here for a moment. And I look out at this congregation here today, whether you're a faithful member, whether you're a first-time visitor, and I can say I thank my God for you. I thank my God for you this morning. Pastors are a lot like football coaches and politicians. We get a far more credit than we deserve, and we get far more blame than we deserve. By the way, preachers don't really build churches. God's the one that builds a church. And I'll be honest, specifically, and I don't know if I can, I tried to look at this, I don't know if I can specifically find a verse that says this, but I'm convinced that it's the Holy Spirit that gathers and edifies and builds up a local church under that headship of Christ. It's been my privilege for these past 7 years to watch God do amazing things in your lives. I've seen your knowledge increase, your hearts stirred, your hands take action. I've seen the victories won, I've seen the prayers answered. Even in the dark times, such as grieving the loss of a loved one, I've seen God's grace poured out in your lives. I was talking to someone recently, a family member of someone here, and we were talking about the church and talking about how, and they were telling me how their perspective through the lens of their family, kind of what was going on here. And they were telling me just how God was using our church in the life of their family. And they alluded to their family having been hurt and going through some hard times in some past churches, and but how they had just blossomed since they had come here to faith. I know what it's like to be traumatized by experience in churches. Most of you do too. We're grown-ups. We've all been through some hard times. One of the things I'm most thankful for about our church is that we have been a safe harbor for those battered and torn in their pasts. I'll put it this way. I'm thankful each of you are here, but I know most of you had to weather some mighty storms to get you here, that led you to here. There are others here I still don't know. I ask Jerry Swink all the time, but what? How in the world did you get here? They just showed up one day, and he stuck around. He became an elder. He learned his lesson pretty quick there. But just the story. But basically, the answer is God brought us all here together. Amen. God brought us all here together. Amen. And what a family He has built, and I will say is building here today. The second thing I want us to notice there is the joy in the fellowship of the gospel. The joy in the fellowship of the gospel. Verses 4 and 5. Always in every prayer of mine for you all, making requests with joy for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now. If you haven't noticed this yet, I'm open about this. You learn about yourself and you know what your strengths and your weaknesses are generally. I don't think many of us have these big light bulb moments like you see on TV, like, oh my goodness, that's what it's been all along. My whole life, I just needed that. We know ourselves pretty well for the most part. And one of my biggest weaknesses in leadership is that I try to do too much myself. I do not do that because I don't trust other people, or I just, it needs to be done, I do it. That's just the way I approach things. I don't think about, ask somebody else to do it. It's like, it needs to be done. I do it. And just the way I am, it gets me in trouble. My wife gets on to me all the time about that. But here's one of the greatest joys in this church is that we are not alone in the work. Myself, each and every one of you, we are not alone. Anytime we do something around here, I'm amazed at how everyone just chips in and gets the job done. We say, hey, let's have a potluck. And we'll have enough food to feed an army back there. Vacation Bible school, I'll tell you what, this year really blessed my heart. Just everybody just jumping in. And I think Pam's going to regret jumping in there. She kind of jumping in was, hey, let's do this, let's do that. I think she's making some work for herself for next year. Just everybody just jumps in and things just happen. I don't know of anyone who thinks they're too good to wipe down a table or carry a folding chair. When one of us is having a rough time, there's calls, there's texts, there's meals brought, there's prayers lifted up. Speaking of that, I think the two strongest areas of the gospel work in our church, the first is our prayer ministry, and the second is missions. speaking of the prayer ministry, it just not a week goes by that prayers that we lift up make a difference. Prayers we lift up make a difference. We could go down the list of those we've lifted up in prayer, that going through hard times, going through rough times, battling sickness. There's some of you that are here just because I think it's an answer to prayer. I'll pick on her. I like to pick on her. But I think Annette Riley is here because God answers prayers. I think that's a testament to prayer. But thinking of missions, and I'll tell you, if there's anything I am proud of, and I know you're not supposed to be proud, I get all that, but if there's anything I'm proud of as pastor, it is our missions program. Where we started, to where we are, to where we're headed, it is amazing. I went back and I dug up some numbers. My first full year as pastor, 2018, according to the old reports and stuff, we invested in missions a little over $13,350 for the year. 4 years later in 2022, that's our high water mark, we took the surplus. We had over $50,000 surplus. We brought in so much more money and offerings than what we spent throughout the year. And we took $50,000 surplus and gave it away. We added that to the missions. We ended up investing in missions that year over $104,000 in the year 2022. Last year, we invested over $79,000 into the missions works. This year, and this gets me in trouble, I try to prognosticate on this kind of stuff and figure out what we've done and what's coming in and things like that. But where we're at and a few things like the annuity and some stuff like that, figuring out what we're going to have come in the end of the year, I think we're going to be somewhere around $85,000 for this year. I think by the end of the year, we're going to be somewhere in that neighborhood. I told y'all before, my goal is 100 missionaries faithfully supported, and I want a $100,000 budget. I think those are just good, round numbers. That's what I'm working towards. We've got 40 right now, and we're flirting right there with that 100,000. We're getting pretty close to it. I love that. But I think God's been good to us because of what we do for missionaries. And I think He keeps giving us more opportunities because of that love and that generosity. And that goes far beyond money. That goes into what we've been able to do with local charities, with Brother Griffin in the homeless ministry. There's just so many wonderful things that if you step back and see, God's done some very great things through this church, helping so many places all around the world and in our own community. And speaking of fellowship, I'm thankful to have such a great family here, a great ministry team. Thankful for Jake, having him on board. When that opportunity came on, I just didn't hesitate to get him in here to be a part of this. And really, I'll be honest, he's not really so much a right-hand man as he is just a partner in everything. I'm so thankful for him, his friendship, his love, his investment in this church. For Ryan, he's new. I think we brought him on just for Obie and Winnie. So very thankful for him. He's just come in, and just him and Mike and little Rosie, they've just come in. Just they feel like they just fit. You meet somebody and they just fit. They just fit. I'm so glad to have them on board. Olin jumping in, doing the music. They were losing Randy was tough, and Olin just jumps right on in there, and the work continues on. So thankful for him, his love. That piano player over there, so thankful for him, friendship. Heard so many great things about him as a pianist, as a just in the community and stuff, but really getting to know him these past 7 years, so appreciate him, the work that he does. And I like it when he goes cut time over there. And I do miss seeing Randy kind of grimace when that happens, but Olin still, Olin, you watch Olin, he'll get a little bounce there when that happens. For Bill, for Jerry, for Gary, three elders, so thankful for them, for others, Olin, Jack, that have served in that capacity. thankful for them, their love for the church, their commitment, the work that they've done in, their wisdom, their input. I'm so very thankful for to have them on board. And we don't really get Crossways. There's really nothing crazy. We don't have WWF stuff going on there in there. We don't throw chairs. Honestly, it's like, okay, guys, what are we going to do? Okay, well, how much? Okay, well, that sounds good. You think that's enough? I mean, it's just I love our meetings, how great they run. For Gary again and Pam, taking care of the finances. Gary overrun that is a tremendous responsibility. I'm so thankful for him. And Pam, keeping track of the giving and the records on that, does a fantastic job. And I could brag on my wife, the work she does. She kind of gets unseen in a lot of things, jumping in, taking care of the kids back there. In fact, if you want to give her a break, anytime, she'll take a break. But her work, we've got a fantastic ministry team. And I could go on and on, the people that do stuff just behind the scenes and just jump in and do things. I'm so thankful for each and every one of you. And as Paul could look back at the Church of Philippi and see them as fellow laborers and see that fellowship, I look around us and I see that same thing, that fellowship in the work of the gospel. The third thing I want us to note is in verse number 6, and that there is joy in knowing the work is not done. There is joy in knowing the work is not done. Verse number 6 says, being confident of this very thing, which he, that's God, which hath begun a good work in you, will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. I love this, that God is going to finish what he starts. God is going to finish what he starts. I look back, and a 7-year milestone is a pretty big one. In fact, I think I've told a few people this. When I was first talking to my father-in-law and told him something about, hey, I've got an opportunity here, this church, he goes, oh, one of my friends told me Decatur is a graveyard for preachers. I'm like, well, thank you for that encouragement. That's really means a lot. And also, I don't know what the averages are, but I wouldn't be surprised. They're probably less than 7 for a pastor to stay anywhere. I don't know that. I didn't look that up. But looking back, honestly, it makes me more excited about what is coming, about what is ahead. The missions program, I talked a little bit about that, but my goal still is 100 works, $100,000, and I thought we're going to get pretty close to that this year with the 100,000, I believe. Our Sunday school program, I want to see more people, get more people plugged in, more people involved. It's so good having a room full of teenagers. It's so good having whatever my dad does in here going on and everybody enjoying that. And things are good. Jake's getting his class started back there. Kind of went from Sunday school just being something you do to, I mean, there's just an excitement. People want to be here. I love seeing that. Our children, our teens, I want to see those rooms packed out. I want to see us have to make more rooms for the kids. We have just too many in there. We'll spread them out, split them up, especially the littler kids. I mean, I just want to see everything packed down. By the way, like I said, this is the heart's prayer for the workers, too. We want to see more. Let's do more. Let's reach more. Our music program, I want to see it keep growing. I tell you what, that was a blessing this morning, was it not? Everybody jumping in, using their talents to praise the Lord. What a blessing that was. Let's keep it going. Our outreach. I want to see us do more to purposely reach our community through sharing the gospel, through inviting folks to church. This radio station deal. I never dreamed of anything like that dumping in our lap, and that just fell in our lap. And I don't know whenever that thing's finally going to take off, but I'm excited about the opportunities that that has. Just these doors that just continue to open up here, the partnership we have with this Christian school using our building during the week. These aren't exactly textbook things, but God just opened these doors, and we're just crazy enough to follow them, crazy enough to walk through them, and it's amazing to see what God does when you just simply trust in Him and follow through. Where we have been just makes me more excited for where we're going. God is not through with Faith Baptist Church. God is not through with Faith Baptist Church. And by the way, as dark as this world seems, you can get very depressed. It's election year. You can get very depressed very easily. You turn on the news, you fire up a Drudge or Breitbart or something on your phone. I mean, you can get depressed very quickly. But I'm convinced the work still goes on. I'm convinced the need is greater than ever. And I'm convinced that God is still moving. And I'd be, even go so far as to say, I think God is specifically moving through local churches. I think we're seeing that in some things that are going on today. We're getting back to God working in local churches and communities. God's not through with our church, and I am convinced, in spite of me, that her greatest days are ahead. I'm convinced that Lord Terry's is coming and things continue on. Maybe one day we look back at 1421, we keep that seven multiple going. We're going to look back and say, oh my goodness, wow, we were really just getting started. We were really just getting started as things were. So thankful for each and every one of you. And I know it's a little bit different of a sermon. I want to be very personal. I want to speak to you from my heart this morning. I love all y'all. It's amazing to see what God has done here, and I'm looking forward to what's going to continue to go. Wrap this up real quick. Guys, y'all can go ahead and come up. From the bottom of my heart, I want to thank you all for allowing me to be your pastor. It is a responsibility and a calling I do not take lightly. And I thank y'all for your faith in me. I thank you for the opportunity. And I marvel. I used to say it, and y'all got on to me for saying stuff like that. But I marvel people come back every week. And just thankful for y'all. Also want to say we truly have something special here. Been a part of some amazing churches, and I've seen some amazing things, and I would rate what is going on here right now right there near the top of anything I've experienced. It's amazing to see what God is doing here, so enjoy the ride and keep it going. And I'll close by saying if you're not on board, get on board. It's an amazing time. Get in, chip in, find something to do. If you're not a member, join the church. It's pretty simple. Are you saved? Are you baptized? It's pretty simple. We don't do a background check. We probably ought to, but we don't. I don't know if we did a background check. We might have to. Some people, I'm not going to name names. I'm looking right at them, but there's some people. anyway, but most importantly on that, and as I close, most important thing is to know Christ. That's the most important thing. That's the reason, main reason we're here. We know Him. We celebrate Him. We want everybody else to get on board too. I don't care if you join this church or not, but I do want to shake your hand in heaven. Do you know Him as your Savior? It's the most important question, the most important need we have. If you'll stand, we'll have a short time of invitation here this morning. I know it's a different kind of message here, but just preaching to you from the heart. If anything this morning, let's be thankful and let's just keep a resolve, keep moving forward. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this day. I thank you for the milestone that it marks, and Lord, the testimony to your goodness, your grace. I'm thankful as I look around at the victories that have been won. Lord, looking around, also thinking of these that have some hurting hearts here this morning. Burdens that so many are carrying. I pray your grace upon them. Thankful we have this church family to walk along beside and to help bear the burdens, to help lift them up in prayer. Lord, I'm excited about where this church is. I'm excited about where we're going. Somebody said the futures are as bright as the promises of God, and that's so true, and I can see that playing out before our very eyes. Thank you so much for that. Let us not take it for granted. Let us redouble our efforts to the work, and let's just keep moving ahead and see what great things you've got in store for us. Lord, challenge us. Let us be thankful here, but challenge us for the work ahead in this invitation time. I pray in thy holy name. Amen.